Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim of California of the United States of Earth. Welcome back to Royals Weekly. I am your host, Marcus Mead, and joining me as always, Dime Store Liza Minnelli, my brother Mike.
You know, I'm not entirely sure what Liza Minnelli did to be famous. Is she an actress? She's an actress.
She was an actress on Broadway for a long time, I think.
Was she the lady on Arrested Development? Was she on Arrested
Development? She was. She played...
Lucille?
Oh.
Other Lucille.
Lucille 2.
Lucille 2. Lucille okay, 2. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yep. Dime Store Liza Minnelli right here. Then yes, I am that.
Then yes, I am definitely that. Yes. I'm pretty sure she was big on the stage more than the screen, but yes. Mike, he has about one fifth of the pizzazz and about one thousandth of the talent of Liza Minnelli. So, you know, it's working out great for podcasting. On this week's episode, we'll review a week that saw the Royals win back-to-back series. It's a real up week, real happy. We're real tuning in to see some great baseball from the Royals. Then we'll talk a little bit about some trade targets that Mike and I, it's trade season. We've decided we have to wade into the trade conversation. And so we're going to talk about some trade targets we've identified for the Royals. And then we're going to preview this week's games. First, we want to make sure that you like, comment, and subscribe. Those help us out tremendously when you do those. When you leave us little comments, it pushes us up the algorithm. When you give us likes, when you subscribe to our channels, it only helps us a bunch. That includes our Substack. We have a Substack, royalsweekly.substack.com. You get an extra episode every week. You get extra articles from us, at least one a week, and I've been usually doing more than that. Mike said he's going to start writing roughly an article a week when school gets out. We're going to start putting out a whole bunch more analysis as we get deep into the summer here. So go ahead and subscribe to that Substack, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and give us all those likes and comments, and it'll help us out a bunch.
Yeah, and the engagement can actually impact the show because it was at least one of our listeners that's really engaged on Threads. Nice guy, also a middle school teacher. He suggested that we do something on this. And when Mark said, hey, we should do this, I said, yes, we should, because we got people asking for something about trades. So this is for you. I can't remember his name on there. It's something like Springfield Collector. This is for you on my Threads guy out there. He's a good dude.
It's a Threads evolution.
It's a Threvolution.
We also want to remind you that Royals Weekly is proud to be brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. Bet Online has all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. We'll start a review of last week with roster news like we always do. There are a couple interesting things to bring up there. The one I was super excited about last week was Alec Marsh got activated. So he's back in the rotation. The Royals, in a corresponding move, sent down Daniel Lynch to AAA. Mike, do you have thoughts on how Marsh looked in his one outing so far since then, or on Lynch being sent down as a result of that, any of that sort of stuff?
Well, I thought Alec Marsh looked pretty good in that start that he had against the Angels. Got some swing and miss, which we always like to see from him. 7 strikeouts. I thought his breaking stuff was especially working well, although he was able to throw the fastball by some guys as well. Five and a third's inning and 7 Ks is always going to be good. He gave up the one home run, but you know he looked really good in his return trip. That's the Alec Marsh that we saw before the injury, and that's the Alec Marsh that I hope we see after. As far as Daniel Lynch going down, Alex Duvall and I pretty much covered this last week, but he was good in that start that he got. But I didn't see anything to tell me this is a new Daniel Lynch. And that's really what I'm looking for. I'm looking for clear signs of evidence that his arsenal has changed or his pitch mix has changed, or really probably both. I think it's for sure his arsenal needs to change a little bit. And so, yeah, good. Put him down in AAA and let him keep developing that arsenal.
Yeah, I thought Marsh looked really, really good in his outing. I got a chance to watch it. Admittedly, I was not watching as closely as I might normally watch because I was in the beautiful Outer Banks, North Carolina, where I had other things I could be doing. And so, but I did watch it, his outing. And I also went and looked at stats of his outing. And it was interesting. I mentioned this in the Substack post I put out this morning, that he threw 51% four-seam fastballs in that outing, which is way more than he's been throwing throughout earlier this year. He was mixing pitches a lot less in some ways. And I think that's because a book started to develop on Marsh where he was like, oh, he's going to mix a bunch of pitches, sit on that breaking stuff. And when he misses with a breaking pitch in the zone, crush it. And I think he was like, I'm going to throw fastballs instead. Like, and the guys really didn't look ready for that.
I really wonder if that's not the book on the Angels lineup, because we've seen that from Lugo today. We saw it from Waka a ton. I think right-handed fastballs may be something that is somewhat of the book on the Angels, is if you've got a decent right-handed fastball, throw it against the Angels.
That might be too. I'm going to watch Marsh to see if he goes back to sort of mixing pitches a little bit more than that in the future. I think that's probably the best approach for him. But if guys are sort of keying on certain things and sort of waiting on your breaking stuff, yeah, good idea to start throwing them some fastballs, because he throws hard enough to get one by somebody.
He was going 97. He threw a 98, I think, in that start.
Yeah, he looked keyed up. And he only went 85 pitches. I imagine they're going to work him back up to around 100 as he sort of eases back in. Which reminds me, I'm really glad that he got to ease back in against what is a much weaker lineup than some of the other lineups in Major League Baseball. The Angels, not very good. They're down Mike Trout. They're down Anthony Rendon. Not that he's very good at this point anyway. But, like, they're just not a good lineup at this point. And so, better to work his way back against them than maybe the Dodgers or something like that. In other roster news, Chris Bubich was sent out for a rehab assignment to the Arizona Complex League. Amazing to me that he is, I don't know, it doesn't seem like that long ago that he went down with Tommy John. And yet he's back, he's throwing. It's only
It's been about a year, I guess.
Got four
starts, I think, last year. So I think it's been about a year.
So, yeah, it has been about a year. Oh, how the time flies, you know? How the time flies. But, Mike, what are your thoughts on Bubich getting into a rehab start, getting back to pitching?
Well, I think it's obviously great. It's fantastic for the organization. It's fantastic for Chris Bubich. He was having such success in that limited time at the beginning of last year that you wanted him to be able to continue to do that. So I hope he can somewhat jump right back on that train, or at least has an idea of what the rehab should look like moving towards what he was at the beginning of last year. I think when you're rehabbing with a pitching development system like the Royals currently have versus what they used to have, that's always going to benefit you more. I also think it's a great thing that the Royals aren't counting on him right now to get back into the rotation or do anything like that. My hope for him by the second half, or maybe even, you know, late July or late August, that Chris Bubich is in AAA and provides some depth. But like Alex Duvall mentioned on Monday, and I go to him for all my pitching stuff because he knows pitching 1,000 times better than I do. It really doesn't. They may be back pitching, but they're not back for at least 2 years. And he was referencing Jonathan Bolin when we were talking about that, but I think it'll apply to Chris Bubich as well, but it'll be very interesting to see what he does. And I'm happy for him to be back.
Yeah. And you mentioned it was AAA depth. I'm thinking, like, what happens if he comes back in August and looked like he can provide some useful innings in the bullpen? I mean, they're going to want to limit his innings regardless of what happens. He's going to go back to, okay, you're going to throw 50 innings this season or something like that. It's not going to be a lot of innings for him. So why not get him in the bullpen, see if he can provide some assistance in that way, because we know that the Royals are probably looking for some bullpen help in the second half of the season, because right now their bullpen is – they're making it happen. They're finding ways, but they're not what you would call like a real reliable bullpen. And Chris Bubich has the stuff, has thrown out of the bullpen before, has had success throwing out of the bullpen before. So to the thought that they could get somebody like him back in time to make a playoff push is really interesting and intriguing to me. Now, as you said, you're not fully back from this sort of thing for a while, and it's usually command that comes back last. And so they'll have to wonder, like, oh, can he actually locate the ball well enough to pitch at the major league level? Either way, they're going to be slow. They're going to be cautious. But it is good. This is only good news to get him back, a guy who is capable of pitching in Major League Baseball. On the field last week, the Royals turned in a very impressive week. They win one series against the Milwaukee Brewers and the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim of California of the United States of Earth. That they went 5-2. You like that?
I guess it's probably Los Angeles County, but of the municipality of Upper.
I think they're in this Fire District 27. anyway, they went 5-2 last week.
The third ward of
Jesus, that's great. They went 5-2 last week, which brings their overall record to 25-17. That's good enough for third in the AL Central, but they're only half game back from first place, and they're only not in second place based on winning percentage. Mike, what are your thoughts on how the Royals looked last week?
Oh, I loved it. You know, to watch them compete against a good Brewers team and come out ahead on that one, that was fantastic. You know, that's it. You expect them to win a series against Anaheim, against the Angels, because they're not very good. But, you know, they went toe-to-toe against the division-leading Milwaukee Brewers, and they won that series. I mean, it was competitive as hell, and it was great to see. Now, they're going into Seattle. I think it'll be a very, very good series against Seattle, so that'll be very interesting to watch. But, no, you couldn't be happier with where they are. Couldn't be happier from what we've seen from the rotation again. The lineup's still a little meh, but they're – I couldn't be more thrilled with where the Royals are. The crappy thing is, we all talked about a weak AL Central. Where the hell did that go? Huh?
Yeah.
The Twins can't lose. Cleveland winning all the time. Even Detroit's having a solid year. Like, what the hell? Other than the White Sox, this division looks friggin' nails. And so, wish we'd have caught the AL Central last year when we were this good. But that's okay. It's going to be competitive, and it's going to provide fun baseball.
It will provide a lot of fun baseball. I'd love to see a nice AL Central pennant chase. You know, come three team duking it out in the last couple months of the season. That would be a lot of fun, I think. I think this team is interesting because for me in this last week, this team has pretty much fully taken shape. I have a pretty clear picture of what this team is at this point, and that's their deficiencies as well. What they're really good at is very clear. They're really good at pitching, and they're really good at defense. What they're not so good at is pretty clear. They're not so great at consistent offense. We know that. We've seen them struggle offensively coming from different people, right? We've seen the struggles from basically the entire lineup up and down at different times. And so we know that when you look at this lineup, it's going to have some holes in it, at least right now. But they looked so good against Milwaukee. They completely controlled that Angel series. At no point did I ever think they were going to lose that Angel series or even split it. Even after they lost the game yesterday where Reagan's had a little blow up, whatever, I still knew they were going to win today. There's just a part of me that was just like, they're going to win today. And so they went out and they won today, right? Like, this is a team that early on people were talking about, well, they need to learn to win. You know, the young guys, they got to learn to win, all this sort of stuff. They know how to win, right? Like, they know how to play tight in the close games. They know how to do those sorts of things. Every team has a blow up in the bullpen sometimes, every team loses games. It happens. This team figures out how to win when they need to win, and they win the games they should. And that's hugely important. It's hugely important that they're taking big series from the Angels and White Sox of the world. I'm really happy to see it, and it was a great week of baseball from them. Mike, great week of baseball means we're going to have a lot of strong performers to choose from. Who did you go ahead and choose from the team as your strong performer?
I went with, because I knew you probably wanted to do Seth Lugo, because he pitched twice this week. He's fantastic.
Think I would rather take Seth Lugo over the person I built the bandwagon for and have been driving for 2 years now, or roughly
okay,
2 years?
Okay, so you might say the reverse is true. I knew you wanted to talk about Dairon Blanco, so I took him. Dairon Blanco, for the first time, really, he's gotten to start some games this week, multiple games this week. And he just said, you know what? I'm just going to go out and show them that I'm better than just about everybody. 6 out of 14, he had a double, a home run, 2 RBIs, a walk, 4 strikeouts, and 2 stolen bases, and was just a spark plug, was just a motor. Was, you know, every time he did something, he scored. It was like, you know, every time he bunted, he got a bunt hit today, and, you know, it just kept things going. And that's kind of what he is. He's an offensive life giver, you know, and that's, I think, you know, HUD usually calls him bus drivers. That's, he's the guy that does that. And man, it's fun to watch. He's not a prospect. He's old. Yes. You can talk about all the things that Dairon Blanco isn't, but what he is a guy that helps you win baseball games. And it's friggin' awesome to watch.
Absolutely. He is a dude who helps you win baseball games. 2 bunt hits. The bunt is an offensive weapon for Blanco. Like, it's just wild to watch him play baseball because it's a brand of baseball that comes from a different era. For one, because of his speed. His speed makes the conventional rules of 21st century baseball, they're obsolete with him, right? So, like, normally you would say, hey, don't bunt. With Blanco, you're like, you can bunt. Like, you can sacrifice bunt Dairon Blanco because it's probably going to be a hit. Like, and so he knows he's such a good bunter. He can, you would normally tell a guy, hey, if you're sacrifice bunting, don't try and bunt for a hit. Don't be running before you're, but he bunts so effectively, he can bunt for a hit while sacrifice bunting, if that makes sense, right? Like, and so he's just a very effective guy. He has the power to hit the ball out. He has the speed to turn a single into a double and a double into a triple. He's just such a weapon for them out there, moving around all the defensive positions in the outfield. Boy, how effective. I mean, I would not be surprised if we get to the end of the year and he's been worth 2 to 3 war. That would not surprise me at all. As a part-time player, insane. Crazy. Look, I talked about Blanco and Lugo.
Got it in.
Got it both in.
No regrets.
Yes, my strong performer for this week is the one and only Seth Lugo. There is not enough praise that you could heap on Seth Lugo at this point. The guy has been absolutely insane so far this season. He is the ERA leader, at least in the American League, maybe in all of Major League Baseball. This last week, he went 14 and two-thirds innings, 3 earned runs, 1 walk, 17 strikeouts. There were people who were concerned about his strikeout rate early in the year. They're no longer concerned about that because he's been striking guys out like crazy, right? Like, and he's doing it with a huge pitch mix. Mike, do you remember what we said when Lugo got signed? We're like, one of the things we love about this guy is he's got a huge pitch mix. They're never going to know what's coming.
He throws 6
pitches. They never know what's coming.
None of them more than 25%. Right? Yeah.
Ever. And it's great to see. He starts out games throwing that four-seamer 91 miles an hour, and then when he wants to, he dials it up to 95. The guy is a pitcher. He knows how to work hitters in extremely complex ways. Today he went out. He was at 90 pitches going into the seventh, I think, or something like that. Gets like 8 pitches out of the inning. He goes back out for the 8th. Like, that's how good he was. He just consistent, mowing guy. He'll give up a home run. In that first game he pitched this week, he gave up 2 solo home runs.
Back to back.
But it was no big deal because it's like, hey, he doesn't walk guys. He doesn't let other guys on base. He'll give up a couple runs, a couple home runs. No big deal. Moving on. Gets more ground balls. Strikes more guys out. He is just the picture of consistency for the Royals right now. And honestly, at the rate that he's going, he leads either the American League and Major League Baseball in innings pitch too. They could get maybe 200 innings out of Seth Lugo of what looks like Cy Young quality pitching at this point.
Yeah, and I didn't get a chance to watch. I didn't get a chance to watch.
What a signing that was.
Oh, I know. It's insane. I didn't get a chance to watch the game all the way through today because we were doing Mother's Day stuff. But I think in the last game he pitched, they were saying 5 of the 6 starts he's had were quality starts, which means he's pitched 6 innings and at least 5 of the 6. That will be 6 of 7. Because he went 8 today and struck out 12 guys. Mm-hmm. That just doesn't happen anymore. That's not how pitchers work in Major League Baseball anymore. So, yeah, he is exactly what we'd hoped he'd be. He's better than what we'd hoped he'd be.
He's better.
Nobody thought he would be around 2 for an ERA. Like, you know, you
1.69.
I know. It's insane. It's insane. We were hoping, like, hey, somewhere between 3.75 and 4.25. That'd be great. He's just unbelievable right now. And the defense behind him certainly helps.
Yeah, not everybody is putting up Lugo and Blanco-like performances last week. Mike, who was your weak performer for last week?
Well, Michael Massey went 3 for 21 with no walks, 6 strikeouts, 1 home run, and 5 RBI. I've mentioned a couple times, actually, that I just don't know if the production that we've seen from Massey early in the season, you know, he was hurt and so he was killing the ball in AAA, and then he came up and he was hitting a little bit. And I just kind of tell people, you know, we'll see, you know. And it's because I don't see a different hitter. Like, I'm not the kind of person who's going to watch the same thing and expect different results, right? It's a Michael Massey hot streak, which he's had in the past. I need to see consistent Michael Massey. And this 1 week does not mean he can't be consistent. I just haven't seen anything change with him. You know, he still swings at a lot of pitches. He still swings at a lot of pitches that are on the edge or outside of the strike zone. To me, that's always going to be tough to be a consistent hitter, consistently producing hitter when you're doing those things. And so unless I see that, I'm not going to like turn a corner on Michael Massey unless he comes out and, okay, 6 months straight, he's hitting. But I don't see that happening. And so, yeah, I'm hoping he can make some adjustments. He doesn't have to swing a lot less, just a little bit less. Be a little more selective with the pitches you're going to do damage on, Michael Massey, and you definitely have the bat to do that.
Yeah, he's a guy who we've seen a lot of this before. I was kind of expecting it to come because he came back and he was sort of hot to start, But you knew eventually that was going to all back up on him because it was all swing happy stuff. It was, oh, he got a pitch he should crush and he crushed it. Well, that's great. But what happens when he's swinging at those pitches on the edges that he shouldn't be? Another guy, or the weak performer I had this week, is a guy who I had to put in here because we need to talk about him. I wanted to talk about him generally, and that's Cole Reagans. He went 12 and a third innings pitched with 9 earned runs, 2 home runs, 3 walks, and 11 strikeouts. Most of those earned runs came yesterday when he got, I think he gave up 7 against the Angels, some of which were runners he left on that Nick Anderson let in. But I see some people online getting real testy about Reagans. They're getting real like hot under the collar about the fact that Reagans had a blow up or something like that. And it's like, listen, I get it. Maybe Cole Reagans needs to do a little bit better when he, like, we talk about pitchers having their best stuff a third of the time, their average stuff a third of the time, and then no stuff a third of the time. Maybe Reagans needs to learn how to sort of pitch around having no stuff, right? Which he had yesterday. He was just, it was not there for him yesterday. But, you know, he's still Cole Reagans. I mean, like, the people are freaking out. Royals fans tend to be very reactionary. Like, you're freaking out because he had a blow up yesterday. He's still Cole Reagans. Like, he's still been very good most of the time. Like, I know you look at the ERA and it looks a little higher than you want it to be, but there's still a really good chance he ends up with an ERA around 3.5 by the end of the year. He's still the guy who, when you really need a win, he comes in and closes the door for your team. He gives you a win by throwing like 6-7 shutout innings. Like, he is that guy. Whether or not he has one day or a couple days so far that he's blown up, big deal. Like, he is still a very, very, very good pitcher. And there is nothing that is really going to change that unless he gets hurt or something like that.
And my thing is, think about this. Since he's been this pitcher, this is what, his 18th start in Major League Baseball? He's still a very young pitcher, too. He still has a lot of time to figure out how to do that. How, you know, hey, when I don't have my really good stuff, what's the one pitch I'm going to just lean on? You know, for Lugo, it's probably the two-seamer or the curveball. For Singer, it's definitely the two-seamer. You know, it's, you know, what do you... He hasn't had enough time starting in Major League Baseball to figure that out or to develop that pitch or those pitches that it's like, when everything's going to crap, this is where I go. You know, he will. He's got development in there still. And so, no, I'm not worried about Cole Reagans either.
Since you're not worried about Cole Reagans, what is your theme for this week?
Wow, great transition, Mark. Dynamite
job. I just thought that up in my brain.
Since the president's doing this, what do you think about the existence of God?
Yeah, that's what, I love doing that, though. I love, it's like, I'm going to bring stuff right out of nowhere. If I were interviewing you, you'd be totally knocked off your feet.
Theme for the week. Okay, theme for the week. I'm going with a Netflix classic, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. The opening song for that is fantastic. Okay, the opening credits sequence is fantastic, the song. And so it's Unbreakable. It's a miracle. Great, great opening. line there. And that's what I'm going for. Our Royals are unbreakable. They're unbreakable. And some of us think the way that they're pitching is a miracle because we've been Royals fans for a long time. Okay.
I was here last year. I think it's a miracle.
They're unbreakable at this point. I am so excited for every time they play good baseball teams because I know it's just going to be a slobber knocker. I'm expecting a slobber knocker in Seattle and I'm excited for it.
Yeah, me too. I think that Seattle series is going to be a really tightly contested one, just like that Milwaukee series, honestly. I think they're going to have a lot in common. And so let's hope the Royals can pull it out. It's really tough. They're traveling that West Coast swing, and that's always tough. But hopefully they can pull it out in Seattle. But at the very least, it should be a very, very good contest. My theme for this week is a very great Queen song called Don't Stop Me Now. And it's just, since Mike was brave enough to sing his, don't stop me now, because I'm having a good time. That's me. That's me watching the Royals win back-to-back series.
That's Freddie Mercury, people.
I know. It sounds just like him, right? Like, it's okay. I've been told many times. Yes, I'm having a good time. So don't stop me now. And when I say don't stop me, I really mean don't stop the Royals, because I want them to continue to win series. So if they can go take the Seattle series, then I'll really be having a good time. Royals Weekly is brought to you by All In Physical Therapy. You already know that All In Physical Therapy helped turn our mother into Steven Seagal's worst nightmare. But what you don't know is that Mom loved her experience there because of the personal attention she got from Tommy and the staff at All In. They guarantee a personalized, one-with-one experience to suit the needs of patients recovering from total joint surgeries, sports injuries, or any kind of injury or pain.
I once stubbed my toe sneaking into an Indigo Girls concert. Does that count?
Yeah, that sounds like it counts to me. I think it can help you out with that. All In Physical Therapy is owned and operated by Tommy Frevert with locations in Blue Springs and Lee Summit. But most importantly, they're in-network for nearly all insurance providers.
You know, I ask for in-network insurance every Christmas. So far, Tommy's the only one who's gotten it for me.
Great guy. If you're a high school athlete recovering from injury or someone bouncing back with a brand new hip or knee, check out the best physical therapy in the KC Metro at allin-pt.com. That's allin-pt.com. Or give them a call at 816-427-530. That's 816-427-5300.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
It's time. We're into mid-May. The Royals are cooking. And it's time to talk about adding pieces to help for a playoff push.
We've discussed
various in-house options in the past. Drew Waters, Walter Pennington, Nick Lofton, etc. But today, for our spotlight segment, Mike and I will take a look at some potential trade targets that could help bolster an already solid roster. We'll do it in a format I'm calling Dream a Little Dream, Sweetheart. For anybody who's old enough to catch that.
Oh, I didn't. I don't catch that. Please fill me in.
Okay. I think that's the title of a song from like the 1950s.
Oh,
anyway,
okay, never mind.
we're going to start off with bargain bin options for the Royals, trade targets that they could get for very little player capital, and then work our way up to dream trade targets. Like, this is the person we're dreaming they get. It would cost us probably more. Since Mike thought up this idea, he had the idea. Actually,
creative
the
director.
Threads person was. The guy on Threads really
well,
did.
I came up with the actual format. It was his idea to talk about trades. I am still the creative director of Royals Weekly. I would like that to be known.
Right.
And okay.
Right. Yes. And I feel, Mike, because I also feel sorry that you're uglier than me, you can go first. Mike, who's your bargain bin option for the Royals as a trade target?
He's probably a bargain bin. I will say that. It's one that a lot of people have been talking about, so I felt like we needed to talk about it. It's Tommy Pham, the outfielder for the Chicago White Sox. The Chicago White Sox are in all sale mode, fire sale.
Everything must go.
Probably the guy leading the team, but we won't talk about that. Tommy Pham, outfielder for the Chicago White Sox. He can play a corner outfield position. He won't play it all that well anymore because he's older than crap. He's 36 years old, I think, or something like that. He's super old. But he's producing offensively. He's got a .309 batting average, a .345 on base, and a .473 slugging. The strikeout and walk rate are both down this year. He's down to like around 15 for the strikeout rate, but the walk rate's 5. He's usually more of like a 9% walk rate kind of guy. He's not going to give you a lot of defensive value, but he will consistently produce offensively. And for what you're replacing and for where you're going to put him in this lineup, I think he's a low-cost option from a team that's in the division, I know, but has so much familiarity with the Royals front office. I don't think they're really caring too much right now about helping somebody else, especially with a Tommy Pham who's not going to be on the Royals for very long. He's probably a rental or, you know, we have him for a year and a year. I didn't look at his contract. I can look at that right now, actually. But he's not likely to be long for the Royals, I wouldn't imagine. So he'll be a free. So you get him for a year and a half. He'll be a free agent in 2025. He does not make a lot of money, so it won't cost you hardly anything. And then the player capital you have to give up won't be a whole lot either. So
It won't be, which is nice. The guy I'm going with is, I don't know if he's in a similar boat in terms of his contract, but he'd have a similar kind of value, I think. And that's a guy named Austin Slater. He's an outfielder for the San Francisco Giants, only hitting 128 with a 306 on base right now, but he's only had like 40-some plate appearances. Austin Slater only hits lefties. He is only a right-handed bat to hit lefties. That is all he would do for the Royals. That is all they should have him do. He is not a bad outfielder or anything like that. The only concern I would really have with him is that he is currently on the injured list with a concussion. He's on the 7-day IL. Hopefully he'll bounce back from that really quickly. But if they're looking to get somebody on the cheap who they can sort of bring in and say, your only thing to do is hit lefties, which ostensibly was Hunter Renfro's thing, but he's been terrible at it. So if they're going to, all this is sort of dependent on, are they going to just bag the Renfro deal, which they probably should, but who knows? If Slater can come in and provide a little bit of value and offensive output against lefties, that would go a long way to helping the Royals.
And I will say this while we're talking about it, since you kind of brought up something similar, it just so happens that all of Mark and I's choices are outfielders, corner outfielders. We know that there's maybe a need for relief help as well. Maybe we'll talk about that in another episode. But honestly, on this team, if you're thinking, where else is there to help? Maybe DH. Maybe you do something for the DH position. I wouldn't probably do that because you like to put Salvi there on occasion. But that's it. Corner outfield and relief pitcher. I can't think of anything else.
Yeah. And so, Mike, give us your solid option then. That was your bargain bin option. Let us know who would be a nice mid-tier option for the Royals.
And, you know, the best new friends, I guess, are old friends here. Brent Rooker, ladies and gentlemen, outfielder, corner outfielder from the Oakland Athletics, currently Oakland anyway. 284 is what he's hitting with a 376 on base, and he's slugging 608, ladies and gentlemen. Right-handed bat, and the walk rate has come up this year, but the strikeout rate is still very high. He's still striking out 30%+ of the time. Weak defender. He's not going to give you a whole lot on the defensive side either. And I didn't check his contract, but he won't be a free agent until 2028. So there's still team control on him. So he's not even arbitration eligible until 2025. So some control there from Brent Rooker, but you're going to get basically at this point, what is almost a three true outcomes guy. He's going to strike out. He's going to walk, or he's going to hit the ball pretty damn hard. And that's him. So that's my number two.
I took a look at Brent Rooker. I ultimately didn't put him on my list for two reasons. One, the fact that he's not free agent eligible until 2028 means it would cost a boatload to get him, and Oakland is probably not going to give him up because they want cost control more than any other team almost in Major League Baseball. And so that's tough. But then I look at him and I think, what is the difference between Brent Rooker and Drew Waters besides Waters being a better defender? Like, Waters strikes out too much too. He doesn't have quite the power that Rooker has.
Yeah, he doesn't hit nearly as hard as
he doesn't hit the ball nearly as hard as Brent Rooker does, which is, you know, important.
But yeah. I mean, look at that. Look at that, though. I mean, he doesn't walk. At least like Rooker's walking this year, he doesn't walk like that.
Right.
I mean, those are numbers that Drew Waters could only dream of at the
right.
Major League.
And I guess you're saying that Rooker has proven that those numbers are the numbers he can put up at Major League Baseball, where Drew
exactly.
Waters has not yet. And so there's a big question mark. Like, if Waters could come up in a week and put those numbers up for 2 months, would you be comfortable saying like, hey, we don't need to go with anybody in the outfield?
But if he could do that, I might be comfortable saying we don't need anybody in the corner outfield either.
Right. Yeah. But we'll see on that front. My mid-tier option is a guy who a ton of Royals commentators have wanted in free agency multiple times, like over the course of the last 5 years. And that's Michael Conforto. He is also an outfielder for the San Francisco Giants. Both he and Slater currently play in their outfield. Conforto's hitting 280 with a 331 on base right now and a 490 slugging. He is a terrible defender. Okay, so maybe this is a DH option or somebody who plays in left field very sparingly or something like that. But he does, and he makes a lot of money. And so that's sort of, you know, it will both drive down the price of him as in terms of player capital, but it will increase the price that they have to pay him. And so thinking about the fact that they're already paying Hunter Renfro $8.5 million makes it a little more tough. Anyway, he's a guy who has just been an consistent offensive performer for a lot of time, could do a lot of interesting things in the middle of their lineup. He's left-handed, I think. Is he left-handed or a switch hitter? Now I have to look this up.
I'm pretty sure he's left-handed.
Okay, he's left-handed. And I don't know that they need a ton of help with left-handed bats. I think they probably need more help with right-handed bats. But a guy who can really get it done offensively. And that's going to be a difficult thing to find this trade season because teams don't like to give up effective offensive players. We have reached our dream. And so, Mike, give me your dream option as a trade target for the Kansas City Royals.
Okay, so my dream option is Kyle Tucker, but I wanted it to be based some, my dream to be somewhat based in reality. Kyle Tucker is...
That's not so much a dream as it is a mushroom trip.
Yeah, I know.
you're never going to that.
That's not very likely, but it is, I mean, I'd say the chances of Houston trading him are somewhat likely, but the capital that would have to be returned, I don't even think the Royals have. And so that isn't going to happen. So I went with a guy that actually Alex brought up on the podcast on Monday, and that's Taylor Ward, who we saw in this Angels series. Taylor Ward, it just seems like, you know what's weird? For me, it seems like Taylor Ward has been playing in Major League Baseball for 20 years. He's still got team control. And so, yeah, that's just wild to me. 275 is what he's hitting with a 315 on base, a 458 slugging. The walk rate is down a little bit this year, so I do think there's some room for improvement. I also think he's got a low, kind of a low bat BIP too, which is interesting because Rooker and Pham, the other two guys I talked about, look like they're maybe due for a little regression in that negative regression in that area. It looks like Ward might be due for some positive regression in that area. He's an average defender. I'd put him above Pham and Rooker in that regard, but he's still not good or anything out there. So you're not getting somebody who's going to really help you defensively, but he's got team control through 2026. He won't be a free agent until 2027. I think he's kind of a steady Eddie that maybe the Royals need at the bottom of their lineup.
Yeah. Ward is a guy I would love if they could go get a steady Eddie type. I think he would do wonders hitting like seventh for them.
I think Ward is the kind of guy you would hope Tyler Gentry could become in Major League Baseball.
Yes. That is a great way of putting it. That is a really great way of putting it. I would hope that. And that is basically Tyler Gentry's ceiling in my mind. But one of those ceilings that you could say like, oh, he's likely to hit. I think he'll walk a little bit more than Taylor Ward.
Yeah.
But yeah, if Gentry could find it, he would have a good career as a Taylor Ward type. My dream is actually probably a little bit exceeding yours. Even
I have to say this.
Yes. You have.
So I was looking at Dalton Varsho and I'm going, oh, Mark will never, this is coming. Cause he plays a lot of center. And so I was like, Mark's never going to think of this. And then I come in and Mark had already filled it out and he'd taken Varsho from me.
Yeah, Mark has thought of all of it. This is a supercomputer up in my noggin here, okay? There's a supercomputer. AI, they just took what was in my brain and put it in a computer, okay? That's AI. Anyway, I chose Dalton Varsho. Thank you for spoiling my my choice.
Got the
there,
reveal
right?
in there. You're welcome.
Yeah, yeah. I chose Dalton Varsho as my dream option. He's an outfielder for the Blue Jays. He plays a lot of center field, but boy, would he kill as a defender in the corners. And so... this is unlikely, obviously, but I think the Jays are like two games under 500 right now, and
they're in
dead last in the AL East. Yeah. they're last in the AL East, and so they might have to wait a little bit to get a guy like Varsho. But Varsho's hitting 222 with a 321 on base and a 444 slugging, which means he has a 222 ISO right now. That is incredible. He's got a 121 weighted runs created plus. He's getting bad bat BIP outcomes, so he's probably due for some positive regression, at least in terms of his batting average. And so that's great to see. He's a great defender. He's got multiple years of control. He'll be a free agent in 2027. They may be thinking, they being the Blue Jays, hey, let's get this guy off our books before he gets really expensive in arbitration. You know, the Royals would have to give up a ton to get him, but he is the type of guy who they get him. He can play center field when they don't want to play Isbell. You know, he can play right field and you have now a gold glove right fielder probably. And so, you know, consider a defense in Kauffman that has Isbell in center, Varsho in right, and MJ Melendez in left. That looks a whole lot better than Hunter Renfroe in right. And so I just think if they got Varsho, they'd be sending a signal that they really want to win this year.
Two negative things about Dalton Varsho, though. And you're right. He has played the corner about half the time. I went and looked at all this, by the way. He's played left about half the time this year and center about half the time this year. And he's been equally good in both. And so he can play any of them. The issues I have is he's left-handed. And the Royals really kind of need a right-handed bat.
They need a hitter.
That's true. And then the other issue is kind of what you said. It's going to take a boatload to get him. One, because he is still under team control and he is such a good defender and things like that. But that's also going to make him very attractive to other teams that have minor league systems that are more stacked with talent than the Royals do. So yeah, Varsho I think would be great. I do think he would fit very well into what the Royals like to do, but I just don't think it's likely to happen.
Yeah. Mike, since we've already broached this subject, let's get to our last question of this segment. Who do you think that the Royals would be willing to part with in order to acquire some of this talent? Because I don't know if they're willing to part with, you know, the top guys in their system, but that's probably what it would take to get somebody like Dalton Varsho.
Yeah, and I think largely because there's guys in their top five that wouldn't be in other organizations' top tens. I'm just laying it out there for you, folks. That's just how it is. Okay. Now we've got some guys, Blake Mitchell, but I don't think they're doing anything with Blake Mitchell. So the guy that I kind of have that might be the guy you can send somewhere that looks somewhat attractive is Caden Wallace. Caden Wallace is, I think, ranked by MLB Pipeline as our number two prospect, I think, if I remember right. But we've got Trevor Werner behind him, and he's not that far behind him either. So I would be more than willing. And I've never been as high on Caden Wallace as some people anyway, but that's definitely a guy I would go with. I think Peyton Wilson might be attractive to some teams for the defensive versatility and the power or the speed. Plus he's got some pop thing too. I love him and I would cry if they did that, but I think he might be a guy that could be attracted to some other teams. And then I think there might be a couple of those starters. If you're going for a guy that's a little lower on our tiers, like a Tommy Pham or like Slater, I think you might be able to use a guy like an Anthony Veneziano or a Jonathan Bolin or even a Daniel Lynch. Maybe one of those guys that a team might think, oh, if we get our hands on him, we can turn him into an effective starter. So one of those starters in AAA, I think, could be part of a package for one of those lower tier guys.
Yeah, I'm not of the opinion that they should really mortgage the future to go after a playoff spot this year, especially since any of those guys they bring in, what difference are they going to make in terms of ultimate win number? And I just don't think that it would be all that high. Like, and so, you know, roll the dice that the team that you have can make it or that you can improve your offense with some dudes in AAA or something like that. I think that's a better option. That said, if they are going to give somebody up to get one of those mid-tier guys we were talking about, I'd be fine with Wallace or Wilson. I'd even be fine going as high, but this is my ceiling, as somebody like Gavin Cross. Like, that would be my ceiling for guys I'd be willing to trade. Anybody above that, the Blake Mitchells, the Blake Walters, the Frank Mazzucatos, even the Ben Cadernas, now that he's having such a good season and stuff like that, I would not be willing to send off to get somebody who you're probably only going to have for half a season or maybe a year and a half.
One thing to think about here is if the Royals are truly going to somewhat of a Baltimore style where you might be okay with one or two homegrown guys in your major league rotation, and then you're going to go out and get veteran guys that are steady, they may be more willing to deal a Ben Cadorna, a Noah Cameron, a Mason Barnett, just because of the volatility of pitching and injuries and things like that. If there are organizations out there that still value that very highly, then maybe you send those guys because your plan in the future is we only need one or two guys from our system because we're going to go out and we're going to buy major league steady guys in their declining years and get the most we can out of them and then fill in with what we have to. So that's something to think about. I kind of like that approach.
Royals Weekly is brought to you by Eric Oxer of West USA Realty. Phoenix has all of our favorite things, year-round golf, year-round baseball, and Eric Oxer of West USA Realty. Whether you want to buy your dream retirement home or just stay a while and catch spring training, Eric can help you find the perfect house fast. We've known him for 30 years and trust him far more than we even trust each other.
When Eric was a Boy Scout, they kicked him out for being too trustworthy. We all know how shady that organization has become.
Yeah, not good over there. It's not good over there. I think they just changed their name to rebrand. Anyway, Eric does long-term rentals for the snowbird crowd and home sales and purchases for those who want to stay a while longer. Are you a baseball player or parent who needs a place in the Phoenix area? Eric will find you the perfect spot fast. Want to spend your day shanking golf balls into the great beyond? Eric knows the golf scene like Mike knows the sadness of closing time at the local hometown buffet.
Ooh, that is sad.
So sad. Find Eric online at ericoxer.com if you can figure out how to spell his name. It's ericoxer.com. Or just shoot him a text. That's 480-383-9745. 480-383-9745. Even if you're just curious about what he can do for you, he's 100% no pressure, one of the best people we know.
And he wishes every mother a happy Mother's Day.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Royals finished their West Coast swing with a stop in Seattle for a three-game series against the Mariners before a day off, and then they fly home for a three-gamer against the Oakland A's. Mike, tell us about the Seattle Mariners. They're doing pretty well this year.
Yeah, you didn't even put in there how well. Let's take a look here.
I didn't. Let's do. I knew I forgot something. I'm rusty, if you can't tell. I took a week off of it.
Guy goes on vacation, forgets how to do his job. I would like to. I'm sure they're up there, right? They're good.
Yeah, they're like... Let's see here. AL West.
They're number one. They're 22-19, first in the AL West.
There you go.
See, I beat him because he has a Mac, and Macs are stupid.
I just waited thinking you could do it faster.
So, obviously, first in the AL West, they're a very good team, and it's a lot of that's on the back of their young, talented starting rotation. So, in the first game, we're going to get Brady Singer against George Kirby, one of those young talent. By the way, we're going against all of the young, talented guys in this series. 26-year-old right-handed pitcher out of Elon University, 4.15 ERA, but just a 1.04 whip. He's got a four-seamer at about 95, a sinker, a slider, a split finger, and a knuckle curve. He really leans heavy on the two fastballs, the four-seamer and the sinker. He throws them a combined 62% of the time because they're both really good pitches. However, the run values on his breaking pitches and off-speed pitches isn't quite as good, so the approach might be to wait for some of that off-speed stuff and see if you can do damage on it. In game two, we'll get Michael Wacha versus Logan Gilbert, 27-year-old righty out of Stetson, a 2.94 ERA and a 0.94 whip. Doesn't like letting people on base, apparently. Four-seam fastball, a slider, a cutter, a split finger, and a curveball. He's throwing his four-seamer less and less each year and getting great results as a result of that. He's got an ERA under 3 and a whip under 1. That's generally how that works. In the last game, it'll be Alec March versus Brian Wu, 24-year-old right-hander out of Cal Poly. His ERA is 0, but he's only had one start this year. And his whip is 0.41, but he's also a very good pitcher. And so, four-seam fastball at 95 to 96, sinker, changeup, slider, sweeper. He made 18 starts last year with a 4.21 ERA. And like Gilbert, he throws the fastballs, plural, over 70% of the time. So, really exciting to see the young pitchers that they bring out there against what has been an excellent starting rotation for the Royals.
After the Mariners, they will head up to, they'll head home. Yeah. Oakland will just follow them here. So we'll get a home stand, and Oakland will come in and they'll face the A's for three games. Oakland was the laughingstock of baseball last year, but they're actually quite a bit improved, like the Royals this year. They are 19-23, which is good enough for third in the AL West right now. So they've made this improvement largely on the back of an improved pitching staff, but it's a much improved offense. They're middle of the road offensively, I think 13th in Major League Baseball in weighted runs created plus as an offense. They have a 101 weighted runs created plus, which is better than the Royals, actually. They are better offensively than the Royals. They're being led by the guy Mike mentioned earlier, Brent Rooker, who's got a 181 OPS plus right now. 81% better than league average offensively. Also getting good seasons from Shane Langeliers and J.J. Bladé. It is a little bit of a top-heavy lineup. It's sort of those three hitting and a bunch of people not doing all that great. And so we'll see if the Royals can navigate that top-heavy lineup. On the pitching side, they're much improved, but most of that improvement comes from the bullpen. Their starters have been pretty bad. As a team, they have a 4.30 ERA, but none of their starters have ERAs under 4, and 3 of their starters have ERAs over 5. And so we have a good chance to get some runs maybe against starters instead of waiting until the bullpen guys come in. Their bullpen is led by this rookie phenom, Mason Miller, real fireballer, throws harder than crap. Routinely over 100 miles an hour, like most of his fastballs are over 100. He's got a 1.10 ERA and 16 and a third innings pitched. Their bullpen is good up to down, top to bottom. And so if the Royals want to get some runs in that series, they better do it against starters.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Head to White Castle for 12 crispy all-white meat chicken rings for just $3.99. For a limited time, choose from Classic, Hidden Valley Ranch, or our new Smoky Barbecue flavor, and take home 12 chicken rings for just $3.99. White Castle, follow your Crave.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
We'll end this week's episode like we end every episode with our Just a Bit Outside segment, where we talk about something that's interesting to us outside the world of baseball. Mike, as usual, will take the layup. Mike, what is your Just a Bit Outside for this week?
I choose to think of it as taking the 2-foot putt, although in the past I have been known to miss a 2-foot putt here or there, so we'll call it a foot putt.
Quite a few layups as well, if memory serves.
That's right. I'm more of a two-handed set shot kind of guy. But anyway, I wanted to just say Happy Mother's Day. I'm taking the layup, y'all. All right, Happy Mother's Day, especially to our wonderful mother who raised us on her own and led us into a life of sports with the help of our older brothers. You know, we talk about her a lot on the podcast because she is that important to us. So Happy Mother's Day to her. Happy Mother's Day to my wife as well. She's done a fantastic job raising our son because, I mean, look at the help she has. It's not
look
good,
at this
folks.
Guy.
Not good.
Look at this guy.
She's done a great.
She's working double time.
The kid's still alive, which is that's a miracle with me as a father. So, no, she does a great job. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, and Happy Mother's Day to those single fathers who also act as mothers. That's important too. So, everybody out there, thank your mother, love your mother, hug your mother. Make sure you get a phone call in today at the very least. And yeah, go moms. I'm a big fan of the moms.
And also, in the words of Vanilla Ice, word to your mother.
Word to your
mother. yes, I love that. Yes, our mother, fantastic woman, fantastic human being. And so I'm going to go to a baseball game with her soon, Mike. It's awesome.
So am I. Don't tell her. This is going to be a test to see if she listens to the end of the podcast. I got her and I Royals tickets for Mother's Day. So let's see if she listens. Because I didn't tell her what her gift was yet. We didn't give it to her today. Okay. I'm giving it to her on Friday. And so we'll see if she listens to the end of the podcast, because if she brings this up, Mom, this is the test. If you bring it up to me.
What date? Because I already told her we were going on a particular day.
June 13th.
Oh, good. So
Yankees, it's a Yankees day game during the week.
Okay. All right. I got her earlier than that, so it's fine. I'm talking about something entirely different. And it's something I was sort of thinking about. I'm trying to get my head into the right headspace for the next month and a half. Because my next month and a half is insane. I mean, like, wildly crazy busy with stuff at work, with stuff at home, just a whole bunch of craziness. I'm putting in a fence. Mike's going to help me with that. I'm, you know, taking on, I'm hosting different camps and stuff. It's going to be crazy for me for the next 6 weeks. And I was thinking about this earlier and I was like, I have the capacity to be like a shark, right? And when I say a shark, I just mean you just keep moving forward, right? You know how sharks can't move backwards? They just keep going forward. I have the capacity to just be a shark, put my head down and go forward until I'm done with the thing that I have to do. That's basically how I got through graduate school. It's really, really hard. It requires a ton of crap. I just put my head down for 6 years and ended up finishing, right? Like that's how it works, right? And so I was thinking about this earlier today. There is a ton of value in being able to just grit your teeth, put your head down and move forward until you're done with the thing that you have to do. Like for me, it's going to be a whole bunch of different things, but I know for the next week, I have to have the mentality of a shark. That's just like, we got to keep moving forward. We'll keep moving forward. We'll keep moving forward. And eventually we'll be done with this thing. Now, there's this classic lie that people tell each other and tell themselves, which is, oh, eventually this thing will be over, then it'll get better, right? Like, and sometimes that's a lie, right? Sometimes it doesn't ever actually get better or another thing comes down the pipe. But that shark mentality does actually allow you to get through the things, and it does create these moments that are seemingly easier. And so all I was thinking about this week and the thing that I've been sort of thinking about and talking about or wanted to talk about was the value of being a shark. If you're ever facing something where you're like, how am I ever going to get through that? You will get through it. You've gotten through everything else. Just put your head down, be a shark, and get through it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I do that all the time, but I always dwell on how much I hate doing that. It's like, I really don't want to do that. I hate it, but I have to on many occasions. I've got 2 weeks of being with middle schoolers who know they're going to be out of school in 2 weeks. So that my head will be down for the next 2 weeks. And then after that, I have to put in a stupid fence for some freeloading brother.
Hey, it's one day. Okay, it's one day. Yes, be a shark. It is valuable. Maybe when we retire, we don't have to do that anymore. Thank you so much for joining us here at Royals Weekly, presented by Bet Online. We really appreciate it. We'll be back again next week. Until then, be good to each other
and go Royals.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Head to White Castle for 12 crispy, all-white meat chicken rings for just $3.99. For a limited time, choose from Classic, Hidden Valley Ranch, or our new Smoky Barbecue flavor, and take home 12 chicken rings for just $3.99. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list: teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.